Well, greetings everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. You have undoubtedly heard this quoted time and again. It is taken from the Authorized Version's translation of the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter. This is talking about when the angels came to the shepherds to announce to them the birth of the Jesus, the Christ. But you see, why is it that in spite of this announcement, we haven't had peace on earth for almost 2,000 years? Right now, as I speak, wars are being fought in many countries around the world, even wars fought by Christians. So why this paradox? What is the answer to this paradox? Well, part of the answer lies in the fact that the translation, as the Authorized Version is giving it, is not accurately depicting what the angels did say to the shepherds. We have published a booklet titled, Should You Fight in War? You can read that on our website. You can also ask for a free copy. And in this booklet, from which I will quote extensively today, we are explaining many of these paradoxes, many of these puzzling questions people are having. And here we are saying that the Amplified Bible, for instance, much more accurately renders the sayings of the angels as follows. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. He's not talking about all men. He's talking about peace to those with whom he, God, is well pleased. And for instance, the Living Bible confirms that saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth for all those pleasing him. So then the question must be asked, if we don't have peace today, if we didn't have peace for the last 2,000 years, God mustn't be pleased that much with us. And if we don't have peace in our individual lives, in our interpersonal relationships, maybe it is that God is not well pleased with us either. In our booklet, we are quoting many influential authors, thinkers, philosophers, religious leaders, political leaders, who have told us about the utter futility of war. Notice what, for instance, General Omar Bradley said shortly after World War II. He said, the world has achieved power without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. We know more about war than we know about peace, more about killing than we know about living. He also said, we have built the atom bomb, but forgotten the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus Christ is talking about loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate you and hate us and persecute us. Notice what Dwight D. Eisenhower said. There is only one solution for our generation. It is a return to a life based on Christ's Sermon on the Mount. But many wouldn't agree with him. The former German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt said quite plainly, you cannot rule a country with a Sermon on the Mount. So who is right? Who is correct? Who is expressing the godly viewpoint? Some time ago, a very famous German moderator, Franz Alt, wrote a book, Peace is Possible. And I'd like to just read to you a few excerpts from this book, and I want you to think whether it would be imaginable that the United States, very popular moderators, would say these kind of things. He wrote, Jesus is a footnote. We learn the wrong things about the wrong people. We focus too much on the representatives of violence and too little on the important and sense-giving people. What has more reality for us, the faith in God or in weapons? Whom do we trust more, the Son of God or world powers? Whom do we hope to receive salvation from, the spirit which makes alive or the weapons which bring death? Very interesting questions. There's another famous author, Herbert W. Armstrong, the late pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, who died in 1986. He wrote extensively about war, and he, for instance, published a booklet, Military Service and War, originally in 1967. It was later republished in 1985. That is what he said. War is needless. War is wrong. Nearly all the really great religious and political leaders of the world have acknowledged the utter futility of war. He also wrote, "War has never solved the problems of men or brought permanent peace. Instead, it only breeds more war." And then he said, "War involves learning to hate and to kill." If we go back to the original Christianity of the first and second centuries, we will find that there were no Christian soldiers. No Christian would participate in war. Here's an article by Christianity Today, which was published on October 28, 2003. And that is what this magazine had to say. "Pacifism is characteristic of the early centuries of Christianity, like the North African apologist Tertullian, who lived from 160 to 220 AD, who regularly warned Christians to distance themselves from pagan culture. He wrote, 'How will he serve in the army, even during peacetime, without the sword that Jesus Christ has taken away?'" Goes on to say, "We are not allowed to wear any uniform that symbolizes a sinful act." The 3rd century Roman presbyter Hippolytus wrote the apostolic tradition, which opposed serving in the military as a matter of church discipline. That is what he wrote. "A soldier in lower ranks shall kill no one. If ordered to do so, he shall not obey, and he shall not take an oath. If he does not want to comply with this directive, let him be dismissed from the church." Now that was early Christianity. But then, under Constantine and subsequent to him, concepts were developed trying to justify war under certain circumstances. And it got so involved that even the reformer did participate in war, actually fought in war. We are told that the reformer Zwingli died when fighting in battle. And so we read, for instance, in the Catholic Catechism, which was published in 1975 in Switzerland, "The injunctions in the Sermon of the Mount are not to be taken literally, as this would lead to unacceptable circumstances, both in private and public life." And the Book of Common Prayers said, "It is lawful for Christian men, at the commandment of the magistrate, to wear weapons and serve in the wars." But who is right? Who is correct? Doesn't Peter tell us we have to obey God more than men? So is God telling us not to fight in war? Or is he telling us it is all right to do so? Is that what Jesus Christ is teaching us? Professor Rossi, who had for many years a publication entitled Conscience and Liberty, operating from Switzerland, had this to say: "The Christians of the first century were decisively against any form of war. In the middle of the second century, the Christian philosopher Justin declared to his pagan readers, 'And we who once delighted in war, in murdering each other, and in all kinds of sins, we have all over the world changed our weapons into instruments of peace.'" That's confirmed by Edward Gibbon. In The Triumph of Christendom in the Roman Empire, he wrote this about the early church: "They refused to take any active part in the civil administration or the military defense of the empire." And we are also told in a magazine titled Liberty from the September-October 1985 edition that no records exist of any Christian soldier prior to AD 170. We can also look through the annals of history and we find that, for instance, the Church of God, already at the time of Abraham Lincoln, thanked him for allowing them not to fight in war. And we find the same that Mr. Wilson, President Wilson, excluded or excused members of the Church of God from fighting in war. And we also find that Mr. Herbert Armstrong, the one whom I quoted earlier, received conscientious objector status for the members of the Church of God, the Worldwide Church of God at the time, during the Korean and Vietnam Wars. But was it necessary? Is it correct that we are not to fight in war? If you have any questions about that, if you are fighting right now, if you are thinking of joining the military so that you can be taught how to fight, think twice. And please read our booklet, Should You Fight in War? It answers many questions. I think it answers, frankly, all the questions you might be having about this topic, including why did Israel fight in war in the Old Testament? Why is God against war, or is he? What did Jesus Christ preach? What did he say? Remember, he did say to Peter, put your sword away, because whoever touches it, whoever takes it, will die by it. My friends, the answer is that we don't have peace today because we are not living in the way which is pleasing to God. But that will change. The time will come when our hearts, when our minds will change, when we recognize the utter futility of war, and not only recognizing it, but we will then also put to action what we understand. We are told that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth to establish and restore the rule and the government and the kingdom of God here on this earth. And when he will rule here, we read in the book of Isaiah that people will not want to learn war anymore. And they will take their weapons of destruction and they will change it into useful tools. You see, Jesus Christ said, I have to come back. Because if I wouldn't come back, if I wouldn't shorten the days of the great tribulation which is ahead of us, no human being would survive. We will have managed by that time to create weapons of mass destruction, and we will be using them to such an extent that we are at the brink of self-destruction, that we would be willing and able to destroy all men from the face of the earth. And Christ said, no, I will come back for the elect's sake, so that there will be survivors. My friends, terrible times are ahead of us because we haven't changed our hearts yet. We haven't understood yet that it is wrong under any circumstance to fight in war. But Christ will come and he will teach us, and man will learn, and man will accept, and man will come to the realization that war is wrong and that peace is the only solution to our problems. And then there will be peace on earth and goodwill to all men, because they will be doing what is pleasing in God's sight. Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.